This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Not really.
God, I'm glad I'm not on Facebook anymore. That.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's kind of slowing down, you know. I don't go to the big group very much, and I haven't seen a lot of new posts on, like, the Valiant Central group. But I feel like maybe that's because there's just not a lot of news dropping, so it's all on us to, like, make the content, you know?
Yeah, well, the Valiant Central group that we made is, like, just there for conversation, and I think that more people have been getting involved and just, like, doing whatever on it, which is cool, but, like, Martin didn't go on, he doesn't go on Facebook anymore, so I'm the only one that goes on there, so, and I'm not gonna go on and post news and shit, fuck that.
No, that's not on you, that's on everybody to keep it kind of a vibrant, forum, but...
It's your job now, Travis. You just got hired.
All right. Yeah, you know, I try, dude. Like, whenever I got some Valiant shit, like I'm gonna put it somewhere, and clearly the big group is, I don't know, it's not that interesting for me anymore. Like, I'd rather speak to the tastemakers.
Yeah, the big group got bloated. There's too many people on there now, and, like, all the people that were cool to talk to before have, like, stepped up and done other stuff, and it's like, you don't, like, none of us need the group anymore. We can talk, you know, it's like we put our big boy pants on and talk to each other on our own now, so don't need that. But yeah, VCP group is, like, my Facebook firewall, so I can go on there and say whatever the fuck I want, and not have my family see it. I can, like, show shit that I bought and not, like, have to explain why I'm buying shit if I'm tight on money and shit like that, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's my Facebook firewall. That's really what it is. It's all for me, so I can show off my shit. But now I don't buy comics anymore, so there's that.
Yeah, dude, I gotta say, I'm a little shocked at the transformation I hear from you guys, you know?
Like, what do you mean?
Martin, you dropped your whole, like, DCBS order, you know? Like, that's... There's been a lot of podcasts about it. Like,
Look, I'm placing an order tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, I'm placing an order tomorrow.
The great experiment is over?
No, it's not over. I'm just not going to be getting fucking 75 books.
Yeah,
he's
getting
down,
like,
to
a
mere 62.
I'm down to 74. Come on, get with the program. I thought you listened to the podcast. Now I think you're a liar. That's what I think.
Yeah. You had to find out sooner or later, right?
Yeah.
Hey, he's 1/6 of the profitability of the podcast. I don't give a fuck if he listens.
What
do you mean?
Aren't you one of the patrons?
Oh, yes, I am. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
There's six of you guys. You're helping right, pay for my EXO Volume 2 trade tomorrow.
gladly, dude. Anytime, man. All right. Let me just say, just in case, I assume it's rolling already, but...
It's, like, always rolling.
It's always rolling, yeah. Anybody who's not getting a Patreon, like, that's not a patron for this podcast and listens to it, what's that, dude? Like...
Shame on you.
Like, the $1 a month, like, you know how many times I listen to this podcast? Way more than $1 a month worth, you know?
I guarantee you listen to it at least 300 times more than Paul does.
That's undefined.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
That's an imaginary number, Martin.
Yeah.
Let's not go into theoretical math. You're not a math major.
No, I was not.
I surprisingly was also a math major. I just didn't finish it because I got bored.
Don't blame you.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to start a controversy, but it's really undefined and not an imaginary number, right?
Oh, snap. See, that's why Paul dropped out.
Yeah.
I just started making shit up.
Didn't say you got good grades.
No, it was actually I had switched from mathematics to engineering, and I liked the engineering class, but I had a chemistry class that I hated, And that was also when I started dating my wife. And I was taking some other classes I really loved. And it was Bible is Lit what the hell was the other one? I want to say the other one was like Intro to Religion. Or maybe it was Symbolic Logic. I don't know. It was like there were a couple of different types of classes for, like, they were originally to fill out, you know, what the hell do you call that? All the credit, required, the classes.
Like core curriculum?
Not core curriculum, but you have elective. Like, it would fill out elective credits. Yeah. But then I liked those, and I was like, hey, look, I'm happy with my life now, and I like these classes, so fuck this. And switched over to English with credential emphasis to become a teacher, and then I moved to Maine and stopped that, and then I'm hopefully going to be going back soon, though.
Nice. It's good.
Going back to teaching or to where you were from?
Going back to school.
Oh!
I never did finish. I started on my bachelor's, but we were sick of California. So we put everything on hold and shifted gears and moved to Maine 9 months later.
Interesting.
So you can pick back up with English?
I don't know. I've been debating it. There's a bunch of different degrees I can do with full tuition reimbursement through my job. So part of me wants to just finish with English because I enjoy it, but part of me thinks I should do business for it to be more useful. I'm also considering doing information technology type of job or degree.
I would say go with that. As a as an English major with an actual degree that I have never used, don't do English.
Yeah, exactly. If I did it, it would just be to finish the degree, which, I mean, I could roll that into something else. But
yeah.
So I'm mostly debating between getting a business degree and then trying to get in a state job. I have there's a former Starbucks manager that she's actually a regular customer of mine now too, because she works for the state in Augusta, and she speaks highly of it. But I don't know if that's really for me. I mean, like, I've never really, like, I'm a manager of a business, but I've never been a business minded person. Like, I'm not like, ooh, that excites me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's doing an IT thing. Which I'm kind of leaning towards because my wife always wants me to figure out computer stuff, and I hate it, but I figure it out. So I guess I just might as well know it, so at least I don't have to, like, Google shit before I figure it out again.
Now every time anybody's got, like something's not fucking working, they're like, oh, I'll call up Paul. He'll come over and fix it for me, right?
I live in Maine. There's not enough people to worry about that.
You use the steampunk computers, right?
No, they haven't invented steam yet. It's all hamster powered. Let's get the show on the road. Let me.
What are you guys drinking?
My cup. I'm drinking some Merlot from this rubber silicone wine glass that my wife bought.
Sounds more like she gave you wine in a bottle and you're drinking out of a silicone nipple. That's what that sounds like.
No, I'll send you a picture later.
I thought when you said silicone, I was like, oh, he's drinking out of a fucking bottle now.
She bought these little fucking wine glasses made out of silicone so they don't break. Except the problem is they're super flimsy.
That's a big problem for you guys. You get so drunk, you break all your damn wine glasses.
It might happen once in a while.
Once in a while. Once in an evening.
Actually, surprisingly, we don't break any.
And yet she opted to go from sturdy glass to flimsy silicone.
I don't know what she got them. I think they were on sale.
I have quite the spread in front of me here. I only had one alcoholic beverage, so I have that open. That's a blueberry cider. Had that last episode too.
Mm-hmm.
Then to follow that up, I have a kombucha, which has a slight amount of alcohol.
Wait, real kombucha? Oh, okay, that kind of kombucha. I thought you had a real kombucha.
Fuck is the difference, you hipster?
All right, let me explain it to you, Travis. You live in Hollywood. Don't you have hipsters over there? You guys use like drink real kombucha, don't you?
Dude, I'm going to be straight up. I've never drank kombucha. It sounds kind of weird to me, but I've heard stories about, like, Sean, like didn't he give somebody, like, a mother or something?
Yes. See, Sean,
drink it.
Sean's a true hipster.
He's not Hollywood, though, anymore.
He's not. That's all right. I mean, let me educate you, Paul. So kombucha is a type of tea, except it's kind of fermented with bacteria, and the bacteria is called a mother, and it looks like a disc of Jello that grows on top of the tea, and then you can reuse it because it's a bacterial colony that grows on the tea. So you reuse it and keep on re-fermenting your tea.
All right, well, I'm drinking bottled kombucha.
Okay. It's probably not the same. There's probably some dead bacteria in there, though.
Oh, yeah, it has all that. It's all carbonated up from that living shit and stuff.
Yeah. Gotta love the living shits.
And then I got a bottle of Polar Seltzer water in case I run out of liquid.
Mm. Seems unlikely. Are you drinking, Travis?
I am, yeah. Kind of ran out last night when I was recording VCR. So I stopped off at the store and I just bought myself a 15 pack of Wolf Pup IPA from Golden Road.
Interesting.
Not sure if you're familiar with that one. It's pretty decent.
I'm not, but I'm gonna look it up.
But instead I'm drinking this shit. So.
Does Sean let you drink on VCR? I thought that was banned.
What? Well, are you trying to get me in trouble or?
I mean, I can cut this whole thing out. We're not recording.
I mean, I think that most of us have a drink on hand, like for every recording or a few.
Was Chris on last night?
I did have a few. Yes, it was just me and Chris last night, and there was nobody really to keep us on the rails. I took host duty, because Chris was like, I don't like the fucking host. He says hi, by the way. I took that, and we talked for like an hour and a half, so it's like the longest... Potentially the longest VCR episode in history.
Look, I gotta tell you,
they're going out this week.
Paul, do you
do you even
like care about comics anymore, Paul? It's X-Men of War number 7, War Mother number 2, Faith in the Future Force number 3.
Wow, 3 books in a week. What are they gonna do for the rest of the month?
Put nothing out.
it's the end of the month.
Is
it? Next week is Shadow Man Race Remmered.
Yeah. That's right.
Which I have no idea what the story's gonna be, but I'm all about the art.
Dude, the art looks awesome.
Like, yeah.
Shadow Man is gonna see them in a mirror and realize their name is Drummer's Ear backwards. And his mind will be blown. Fuck.
Oh, Lord. That's a one shot, right? It's not a mini.
Of course, yeah.
Hmm.
One of many.
One of many. Yeah.
They're like, let's just fill out this line. Give them another book. They're complaining that they're only getting 6 books, so 7 should do it, I think.
Oh crap! You know how you fix that? You actually put out not just one shots.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what I was thinking. All right. Like, because I do Comixology, right? And you can subscribe on Comixology. But I was thinking, like I've been missing buying the new issues a lot when they come out because I get the preview copies,
mm-hmm.
and there's no ongoings. It's all miniseries, and I don't even know if you can subscribe to a miniseries on Comixology.
Yeah, you can.
Like, yeah. Okay, so you can. But I feel like that's somewhat maybe of a macro issue, which is just like... Ongoing, you know, it's easy to pick those up and stay on them and say, I'll just take this. But, like, I don't know that everybody's able to keep up with every miniseries that comes out, unless you just tell your guy, like, yeah, give me one of everything Valiant, you know, like...
Well, even then they screw up. I ran into that problem at the last shop that I went to, because I was doing that, but especially when they went through periods where, like, all the long ongoings were ending, and they were popping all these little four-issue miniseries and then starting up some new series. Man, he dropped the ball on some stuff, and, you know... I didn't sweat it. He was always it was always good to me. But seriously, like, you can't just fucking look at previews and, like, make sure you get the. I mean, at that time it was actually 9 issues, so I guess that is kind of a burden.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't bother me, but I could see it being frustrating for people when shops screw that stuff up. Because also, not all shops are really going to give a shit about fixing stuff, and. I don't know. I've heard a lot of horror stories over the years of people about their shops just really not giving a damn because they're asking for something small and fringe instead of just wanting to suck on the big teats of the big two.
Well, dude. So, like, I'm all digital, right? Except I started going back to the LCS to pick up these pre-order bundles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... my shop owner, like, the guy that is down the street that I want to go to because it's literally, like, a 5-minute walk, he's such a fucking dick to me, dude. Like, I have to email him about 10 times for every bundle and be like, did you order it yet? Did you order it yet? No response until the last day, the deadline for every single bundle, he emails back, yes. And then I get into the store. And they're not there. They fucking sold them to somebody else.
See, all right. This is not Valiant at all. Because that's not just a Valiant thing. That's what pisses me the fuck off, dude. Like, if you have a shop, surely you're trying to make some money, right? Like, you're not just... You don't run a shop to read fucking comics. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just go and make a DCBS order. If you have a shop, you want to be involved in the business. If somebody asks you to order them a... fucking comic book, why would you not order the fucking comic book?
Because you don't really want to be a shop owner. You just want... You wanted to work in comics, and that's... Or you fell into it. I don't know, dude.
It's easy to make sure you order the Marvel and DC stuff that everybody's getting and to not give a shit about the little stuff. Because, yeah, I mean, the guy loses Travis, but he can... be lazy and doesn't notice the bigger picture of the damage it's doing. But over time, and when you're like that, you're going to lose those, you know, the people that are getting the other stuff are going to come and go. At times, you're going to piss them off, you're going to lose people that way, and you're not going to grow your business, and eventually it's going to dwindle and dwindle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do good by people, and, I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, like, I've never been one to get a ton of books. I mean, the most books I've ever gotten in a month that I've subscribed to has maybe been, like, 14.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I've been to 3 different shops. I've gotten different service at all 3, but I've always gotten good service. And you know, the shop owners cared about me, like, not just as a customer, but like I'm pretty cool with all of them. And you know, I go back to all of them at different times and I recommend them to people. You know, it's like, I may not go to my last shop in Lewiston anymore because I don't really have a reason to go out there, but I actually got one of my employees that now lives in that area to start going to that shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it has a big impact when you treat people like people, you know, and same thing vice versa. You know, when you go into a shop, treat the shop owner like a person who you want their business to succeed and you want them to enjoy the fact that they're having that business, and then it's amazing how much they'll do for you because you treat them decently. And you know.
We're going to call the shop out. What's the name of the shop, Travis?
Ooh, should I? Am I telling stories after?
You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Why don't you go? What's the shop in Pasadena that Ed runs? Just go there.
Clutch Paradise.
Yeah.
Fuck that, Santa Clarita, and go to Andy's shop.
Oh, to Andy. Yeah, but Santa Clarita's far, isn't it? That's like 45 minutes to an hour.
Don't be a pussy, driver.
I think it's. I can't remember if which side of Pasadena it's on, but it's probably a little further out there. And actually, I did reach out to Andy when my shop, which is Golden Apple.
That's your shop? Yeah, fuck those guys. We're not yeah, gonna. We're not gonna tell stories. Yeah, we're not. No, we're not telling the stories. I've ordered stuff from Golden Apple before, and I had a really bad experience.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. I mean, the owner doesn't. The guys that run the counter and stuff that actually work when I go in after work, like, they're chill as fuck, you know. And they like every time they screw up, they're like, God damn it, like. So I don't know what's up with that, but they're not really trying hard to keep me. Problem is that, you know, I'm sunk on a year of Bloodshot Salvation pre-order, you know? Like, if I drop everything else and pick them up somewhere else, I still have to go in there for the next 11 months to pick up that, or just eat it.
Did you prepay the whole thing?
That kind of...
Wait, you prepaid and he sold your copy?
I didn't prepay because
Together. No, here's the thing. Yeah. I'm all for supporting a shop, but the problem is if the shop is not willing to support you, then screw that shop. You see what I'm saying? Like if you order the pre-order bundle and they save you your copy, and I've told my shop before, I know Paul, we've talked about this before, I'll pay up front. I don't give a shit. Most shops don't want you to do that because they don't have a way to track that. Exactly. But I mean, I'll pay up front. The thing is, if you ordered this thing from him, and he's not willing to save you the copy that you ordered for yourself, I don't feel like you have any need to go back every month and pick up the next 11 books. Just go somewhere else that will actually serve you.
Yeah, he broke the emotional contract of your bond.
Whoa.
But think about it, like, if there was a contract for that order, like, I'm committing to buying this book from you for 12 months for you to order this bundle, well, he broke the contract already. He sold your first book. He did not provide you with the first book, so fuck him on the rest of it if you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But what I would do is send Ed or Andy a message and say, hey, I got screwed on the pre-order bundle. Is there any chance you order, you know, you have extra pre-order bundles coming in and I can set something up? I bet you,
dude. I guarantee you, Ed does. I guarantee you, Ed does.
Yeah, Ed for sure does.
Surprise me if Andy could too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got to look up which one is closer, you know. But I did reach out to Andy, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, you know, I'm just trying to do the right thing, and you know, like they've rolled these bundles out in a way that it's one a month, you know. So like, Ninjak starts in November. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be into that until March. I don't know, you know. I'd like for everything to work out, but there's just been issues, you know. So I think sooner or later I'm probably going to take my business away once these bundles are done. Go to somewhere that like gives a shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still think you shouldn't wait till the bundles are done. I think you should do it now. I thought I was going to come into this salty, and Travis just came in and out-salted me right off the bat.
Oh, man, so the roles have shifted. Which role are you going to take up now, Paul? Your conciliatory? No.
That was my only role.
You're like the... The female friend who's like, you don't need him. Like,
did you just call Paul a woman on my podcast? Wait, you can't call Paul a woman on my podcast. You're a guest.
Who the fuck is this guy? You know what? You keep go buying those pre-order bundles for that motherfucker.
You deserve each other.
Oh, man. We've been talking for like 20 minutes. We haven't introduced the show. Let's do that. This is episode 143 of the, I guess it's the Valiant Central podcast. I don't know. Might be hashtag salty peanuts or something. I don't know. That might be the title. Of course, I'm Martin. I'm here. Paul's here. And the voice you've been listening to is the sweet, sultry sounds of Travis Williams, formerly of the VCR podcast, currently of the Much Better podcast.
Wait, he's one of the VCR nerds?
Yeah, he's a VCR nerd.
God damn it. Yeah. I gotta start
checking. I do find it hard to remember. I get it mixed up.
Dude, it's okay. It's called a Freudian slip. We went over this. It's a Freudian slip. You were just so excited to be here that you confused your other podcast with this podcast. It's fine. You're forgiven. I don't know if Chris gave you shit. He might be upset. But it's all right. He's always upset. He's Canadian.
Yeah, Jason's probably going to kick you in the dick. I think that's what he threatened me with last time. Or maybe he's punched me in the dick. It definitely has something to do with my dick, which I found a little odd to focus on the dick.
Yeah, you know those Canadians.
Yeah.
Those Canadians. We've had some conversation. I don't know if you caught this, Travis, but there's been some conversation on Twitter. The Collecting Valiant guys got involved. And I'm going to shout Dallo, our buddy Dallo, Paul, over in the UK. He brought it up. Remember when we were talking about the EXO Manowar pre-orders, how Valiant was saying it was 90,000 copies, and Diamond was saying it was 60,000 copies, and we're all like, what the fuck is happening? Are they not counting the pre-order bundles? Like, all that stuff. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
We got clarification. And I'm gonna shout out Comicron.com, which is where I usually get the diamond seals from. They got involved in the conversation. Here's the deal. Apparently, Diamond reported the numbers wrong, so Comicron fixed their numbers. It wasn't 60,000, it was 67. So that puts EXO in the top 10 for March of the month. So that's nice to have a top 10 book. And the reason that they said 90,000 is because Diamond only releases U.S. numbers, not U.K. numbers. And the difference between the two numbers are the sales numbers in the U.K.
Oh.
And according to Comicron, usually it's about 10 to 15% of U.S. sales is what gets sold in the U.K. So for future reference, anybody that cares about sales numbers, and you're like, where are they getting all these random-ass numbers that make no sense? There's your reason.
So they still haven't commented on how many pre-order bundles for EXO, right?
Correct. I think they had said at one point.
I'm curious about that.
They had said at one point what it was, but I don't know how accurate that was. It was like, I don't know, 12 or 15,000 copies maybe is what they said. Which I guess that still makes sense because the book's still doing about that much and they're 6 issues in is what's been reported, so I would assume that, yeah. I guess by now the second bundle would be half that. Maybe 6,000-7,000 copies. I think it's still pretty good.
I find it a little odd that that Comicron really hasn't been reporting anything about the bundles, and also Valiant seems to be somewhat tight-lipped on those exact numbers.
Well,
but, you know, so we're...
The problem is, if Diamond doesn't share those numbers, there's no way for Comicron to have those numbers. You see what I mean? And I have no doubt the publishers get more numbers than anybody else does. Because I was looking over Comicron's numbers, and they even had like a year total for 2016 on digital comics, which I had never seen before because, you know, they don't publish digital sales anywhere. And I think it was like $90 million in digital comic sales compared to $405 million for print sales. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk, dude. You know, like that's, what, 15, 20% coming out as digital.
Yeah, I don't understand why digital's not included in sales numbers, you know? Like, it's just to prop up local comic book shops so that it's like,
yes.
Oh, like, you know, like, nobody cares about this, you know, like, let's just keep going to these shops, keep them alive, because otherwise Diamond's going to go under, we're going to buy all our shit from Amazon.
No, that's exactly what it seems like. And the excuse I've always heard is, well, Comixology can't track, like, per-issue sales or anything. Which, that's bullshit, dude. Like, seriously, you've got a company like Amazon making gazillion dollars a year, and they can't put somebody on there to figure out how many fucking times the thing gets bought?
So, are you enjoying giving Travis the live version of last week's episode? Because I'm pretty sure he listened to it.
Listen, Travis wasn't here. If you don't like it,
yourself.
You can lick my balls.
Breaking news! The Washington Nationals lost, so if the Dodgers win tonight, they win home field advantage for the playoffs.
Are you seriously talking baseball right now?
Yeah, because you know what? That's so much more interesting than fucking sales talk that we were talking about last week.
All right. Let me spin it out on a tangent, though, all right?
Sure.
Faith in the Future Force number 2. Any mm-hmm. copies sold? They're not on the sales chart.
Was it you that brought that up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They sold 17 copies. It is a very valuable comic, very scarce.
Shit. I bought it digital. All right. Oh,
well. What did you think
issue
of
three.
It? I enjoyed issue two. Oh. I have not read issue three yet, but I enjoyed issue two.
Hold on, I'm going through this listing here. All right, so according to this, if Faith is not on the listing, it sold less than 2,000 copies.
Yeah, see that's not possible, dude.
Because
it's not going to drop.
There's
8,
no way.
8,000 to 2,000 between issues. So something weird happened there.
The lowest selling book is 2151.
You need to tweet Comicron and find out what the fuck they're doing with Faith number two. Where are they hiding it? Who are they doing this for? Who paid them off?
Well, you know, Valiant was asked, and I still haven't seen a reply.
Yeah, I think that was me, dude.
Oh, that was you. Yeah, that was you. You know what? I'll just tweet Dinesh.
Yeah, he'll answer you.
I'll find out. He might not ask me publicly, but I'll find out. And then I'll report.
Yeah, you know, it's like things like that that are weird. Like they just play towards conspiracy theorists, and I have that inclination from time to time.
You gotta give Chris something to talk about.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about that issue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I like that issue, but issue three is better, actually. I thought issue two didn't really move the story forward very much at all, you know, and I found it frustrating to have an issue that was kind of more of the same, and especially out of like a 4-issue story, you know, I was like, when are they going to get to the thing where this moves forward? It's just like going through a cycle that repeats itself.
Mm.
Issue three finally like delivers on trying to move towards why this is happening and where it's going. So mm-hmm. So I'm good on issue three.
Yeah, see, I think issue two, so I haven't read issue three yet, but issue two, if they didn't have an issue like that, it would change kind of the tone and the feel of the whole story, because you need to have that showing the repetition and the feeling of repetition. It's, you know, like, you've seen Groundhog's Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it was the second day where you're just like, cut to the fucking chase, I get it, he repeats the day, like, get to the end of this, like, move the story. That was that was 90% of the movie. That was the only entertaining part of the movie, was when they repeated the same fucking day over and over, and then he, you know, got feelings and shit, I don't know. that's the fun part of this story, is like, okay, we're gonna go save the day, and then they get crushed. Oh fuck!
Mm-hmm.
And they like narrowly like are able to communicate with themselves. Okay, try something different next time. I think you needed that. The first issue was setting up what was going on. The second issue let you roll with what was going on and get that feeling of what was. It was just like, okay, Travis, did you like Wrath of the Eternal Warrior?
Yeah.
Did you like the first couple issues?
I know that's kind of a point of discussion. No, I liked it, but I understand why other people might, you know, shit talk it.
Listen, don't listen to Paul. He's just trying to bring this up because I did not like that book, and he just likes to continuously bring things up I don't like.
I didn't even mention that you didn't like it and that you were so mean that you drove Robert Venditti out of Valiant, you fucker. But
he does a fantastic Green Lantern, so does it really matter?
No, Green Lantern doesn't really matter. Fuck Green Lantern.
Trust me, I guarantee that it has nothing to do with me not liking the first arc of that book.
But anyway, so my point with that is that the first arc of that book, and not everybody likes it, that's fine, whatever, but you needed that to be like that to set the tone and build the feeling for everything that came after it. And as much as people are just gonna, you know, if they didn't like it, they're gonna sit there and say, no, you don't. You know, fuck you, you're wrong. So, there you go. It wouldn't be the same if you didn't have the slow feeling of moving through this thing over and over. Like, it built up so much stuff about what you're feeling, and you may not think it's the most exciting issue by issue to read, but you need elements like that in story building sometimes. And with that story, that was one where you needed that to really kind of build up what they were getting to. Otherwise, you know, if you never have the build up and you just have the action, it doesn't have the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Travis, are you a sports fan at all? Any sports?
Yeah, I watch USC football.
So
that's mostly it.
So you say USC?
Yeah.
I'm assuming Trojans, right? Not Gamecocks.
Yeah, Southern California.
Yeah.
He loves his Trojans and Cocks. you know, so with sports, like, I don't follow college football, but you know, you're watching your team, and if you only follow the scores all year and then you watch the championship game and they win, it's nice, right? Like, that's your team, they won the championship game. But if you watch all the games all year long, that championship game means a lot more, right? Because you've been through all those other games, you've sweated them out, you've not been sure if they were going to pull it off, if they were going to do it, if they were going to make it, if they were going to, you know, all the different things that are involved. And you know, you can watch a team that just rolls, like you know, the 2007 Patriots went undefeated, they just rolled through everybody, and you can get apathetic with it, and then you get into the Super Bowl and you're just like, there's no way they're going to lose to these shitty Giants, and then they get beat and you get crushed. That's still like all those things. It's you're going through this, the less necessary parts of the story that just take all this time to get the bigger payoff when the action actually happens. You know, one of the cliche things you hear about sports is that basketball, you only have to watch the final 2 minutes. Those final 2 minutes don't mean that, like, just check the score if that's all you're going to watch, because the reason those final 2 minutes mean what they do is you've watched what happened the whole game. And yeah, it's just up and down, and it's a close game, and it's back and forth, and like the end of it is really where you make the difference most of the time. But if you don't get that feeling all the way through, then the end means so much less. And some stories, like, you need that kind of the just going through the motions, playing the game, you seeing what's happening to be able to get to the payoff and have the payoff mean a lot more. So I feel like that is putting way too much emphasis on what I think faith is going to give us.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does it have to do with faith?
It's the same thing with that second issue. I mean, they're going through, like, setting the feeling of repetition for it, but you need that sometimes. Like, you know, it may just be an issue where it's not going anywhere, but it's showing you what they're actually going through.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you on pretty much all that. I just think the only difference is that Eternal Warrior was an ongoing, and I would assume that they plan for that thing to be like pretty long running. You know, Venditti did 50 issues of EXO. I bet we only got a taste of what we could have got. But Faith is a miniseries, and they were already halfway through at that point. So the, you know, the hardcore repetition, it's just somewhat of apples and oranges. You know, I feel like you emphasize that, but then you have to rush at the end to fit it all in, when it's like this could have been 6 issues or more, 12, you know, like Old Time Walker was 12. There's a lot of similarities between the new series and the Old Time Walker, except that it's not ongoing. You know, they decided to go the mini series route, which seems, you know, a little strange in something where you're going to throw in all of your, you know, marquee characters.
Well, for the record, the old school Time Walker,
that's my point between the two.
The old school Time Walker was supposed to be an ongoing.
I would call it an ongoing. You know, 12 is about as much as we get from a lot of the series, you know, with the exception of the tentpoles.
See, I now consider 4 issues an ongoing, and 1 issue is now a miniseries.
No, you're a math major,
my expectations.
Don't Don't you need at least two, like, entries to have a series? Can there be a series of one?
There's a series of pages in that book.
There you go. That's that Stalinverse math.
Divinity by that is an epic. It is it is the equivalent of, like, you know, Batman had Nightfall that was like three huge books of comics. Yes. And Divinity had three 4-issue outings, and that is exactly the same in comics nowadays. An epic.
Not quite.
Exactly the same.
Not quite. I mean, it has been, but I think people are trying to change that. Dude, people are trying to change that.
You know what the problem with Nightfall was?
John Paul Valley.
Well. I had read it the first time, and the collections I read were smaller,
mm-hmm.
and then they, you know, reprinted them, and they crammed so much crap in there, it got so tedious to read. But the funniest part is, they left some stuff out that was in the first collections.
Hmm.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. They do that all the time, though. Especially DC.
I bought them for $6 each on Comixology, and I'll never read them, but I know they're there.
Oh, man. I started reading those right before that came out.
How much of your Comixology... How much of your Comixology library have you actually read?
Are you asking that I've read since I purchased it on Comixology, or have ever read? Because I have a lot of stuff on there that I've read, but then I bought it digitally to have it to read again when I want to, and I haven't yet. I'd have to look, but I got a good amount of stuff on there. But I've gone through and archived a ton of stuff that was like free stuff that I've gotten here and there in different ways that I just like, I know I'm never going to read this one random issue of whatever. You know, Iron Man or some shit, you know?
Hmm.
So I've cleaned it up so I can actually, like, go through and read stuff. And the thing I'm reading right now on Comixology is actually one of the very first purchases I made, which was Watchmen. But I've read Watchmen before.
Wait, why were you surprised that I had read all my stuff?
Because you buy way more obsessively than I do.
Yes, I
do. You just buy it all physically, apparently. I wait for Comixology sales. Like, I go like, ooh, look what I can buy for $4.
Yeah, but and I do. Go, dude, I do.
Look what I can buy on Amazon, right? When Nick tells me for $25.
Yeah, but Amazon has great deals. And DCBS has great deals. You see what I mean? So, like... I'm not waiting for a sale. There's sales all the fucking time.
I will always wait for Comixology sales.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Because they will they will always come. Whatever you want, it will be on sale at some point within the next year. Do you need to read it right now for a more expensive price? No, you don't. You know how I learned this lesson really strongly too? Is watching Ronnie buy all of Ninja Turtles. And then it went on sale immediately afterwards. Literally, anytime Ronnie buys something on Comixology, I know it's going to go on sale.
Well, and you're doing Hoopla now, too, so that helps.
Yeah, that shit is great.
We're not talking about that.
Hoopla. All right, here's my 2 cents on Comixology. Just my perspective is I think that...
You can buy so much for 2 cents on Comixology.
Yeah. Oh, it's... I love Comixology, dude, but I think most people probably around 95% unread from what they bought because it's so cheap. You just buy and buy and buy. You'll never get to it. I think that's why they price it like that. You know, they're like,
oh, yeah.
People ain't going to read this anyway. So why don't we just sell them, you know, thousands of issues at $1 a piece? I have a friend who's got like 15,000 books on Comixology.
Mm.
So, and he's not read any of it.
Well, what's the point of that?
So you can read it. Yeah, no, when all these companies get a streaming thing that is, like, comprehensive, I think he might regret some of that.
Ah, oh, dang it, I'm not signing to Comixology.
But it benefits me because I can read whatever I want.
Yeah, see, we actually talked about this last week, I believe, also. Or maybe we talked about it on Nerdy Legion, I don't recall. No, I think it was on Nerdy Legion. But Comixology is like, it's like the gym membership of comics. Mm-hmm. The reason that they're so affordable is because most people aren't going to go to the gym. They get the membership, they go a little bit, and then they stop, but they don't cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
Comixology is similar. Like, the cost per sale is inconsequential. You know, the cost that they have to pay to be able to sell it is already done or whatever. So it doesn't matter how many copies, quote, they sell of the Rachel Rising series for $30, because it doesn't cost more for them to sell it, really. But people are going to buy it a whole bunch, and they're getting, you know, less than a buck an issue. But so many people are going to buy it and never read it, so it just doesn't make difference. I mean, even if they did read it, it wouldn't make any difference. But the reason that works even more in Comixology's favor when they don't is the people that buy stuff and don't read it, they're going to buy more stuff without reading it because they're not reading the stuff, so they're buying the stuff to get the satisfaction of interacting with comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather do that digitally than physically. I would, if I had to guess, like, I would guess I have maybe like 50 trades of stuff on Comixology to read. Some of it is stuff I've read before but bought to read again. Mm-hmm. Like, I might have had it physically. And, like, for example, Sandman. I had read all of Sandman, but I had, when we lived in California, I had all but the last two trades. And a lady who had worked for me was a big Sandman fan, and she's a real sweet lady. And I told her if she bought the last two so I could read them, I would give her the first 12 because she had lost her collection of Sandman graphic novels. I don't recall if I think they got stolen or something happened, but so she didn't have them. So she bought the last two, so I could read them. I gave her the first 12, so she had the whole shebang.
Nice.
But I love Sandman, so eventually when I got back into comics, I used a gift card to get the first omnibus, and got it, and I was like, this is awesome. And I like started trying to read it. I was like, how the hell am I supposed to read an omnibus? Like, these things are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually sold the omnibus on eBay and used that to buy the entire series on Comixology on sale. So I haven't read it all on Comixology yet, but I got it to read it because it's something that I do want to reread.
Well, see, and you did the right thing because a few months ago, Nick and I were talking, and I ended up buying a nearly complete Sandman run in physical copies. And it was not cheap. And now that I'm reading a lot more digitally, I wish I had waited until now because I could have gotten those books for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You can get, like I said, patience with sales. I've seen Sandman sales come through again and again and again because they've had Sandman-specific sales, they've had Vertigo sales, they've had DC sales that include Vertigo. They have all kinds of stuff. You know, they have the discount codes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have so many chances for you to buy stuff for cheap. And you could buy all of those trades for, like, $6 each if you wait for it.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to step away for a minute, guys. So you guys keep going. I'll be back in just a minute.
Sure, Paul. Sure.
All right. Okay, so you know the other thing about Comixology, though? You can kind of strategize and divide and conquer if you have people that you trust that trust you, you know? Mm. So, like, for instance, my buddy who's got all these comics, basically I tell him exactly what I'm going to buy always, and I'm like, yo, don't buy these, dude. You know, like, there's no fucking reason why we should both spend the money on this. We share the login, so, like, it's that much cheaper, you know? And, you know, it's like what people do with, like, Netflix and Hulu, you know? Like, you share your login, and, like that's how you can deal with, like, you know, the costs of consuming everything you want.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. The thing is, I don't generally do that because I fully believe in supporting as much as I can, you know what I mean? Like, I get what you're saying, and it definitely helps. And I know for a fact that people do it all the time. When Marvel was doing all those digital codes, I know for a fact one person would buy it, and then everybody would chip in, to have access to that digital copy. You know what I mean? So you'd have like six people buying a fucking $3.99 comic. But at the same time, like I believe in paying full price, and I know that sounds stupid, but you know it might not make a difference to like Marvel or DC, but a company like Valiant or Aftershock or Lion Forge or Scout Comics or whatever it is, like I like reading a lot of indie comics, and if I do that, like that doesn't support that particular publisher. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So well, and same thing with Valiant, right? So we get preview copies at least a week in advance, sometimes more. But I still go out and buy the comics. You know what I mean? And sometimes I would go out and get, I'd have it in my DCBS order, and I'd go out and get it on Comixology if I don't want to wait to read a particular book. And I'm buying the damn trade. So, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever works, right? Like, I get what you're saying. And doing it the way that you would do it is actually pretty smart, because then you can read, let's just say, twice as many books for the same price, right, if you're sharing an account.
Yeah, I think it just makes sense. But that being said, I take your point, and I, you know, I do buy everything that Valiant puts out digitally, except for Harbinger Renegade. But, you know, I want to support them, so I'm not going to ever stop, you know, buying those issues. But, yeah, you know, like, I like to have it as a tool to turn people on to the company as well. So anybody that will fucking listen to, like, hey, heard this, like, company called Valiant? No. Hmm. Here's my login. Like, here's where you should start. What do you like? You know, like I feel like that's... There's just so much more there if somebody's interested than if I'm like, hey, here's a random trade, which I actually don't have anything in trade. Hmm. So that's my tool to try to like hook new people.
Sure. And hey, you know what? Whatever works, right? Like if you feel like something's worth supporting that much, then by all means, go ahead and do it. I remember, dude, back in the day, like there used to be people that would sit at shops and just like hand out copies. And when Valiant relaunched, like the first couple of years, people were still doing that. You know, people that were doing it back in the day. I hear Paul rumbling in the background, so I'm sure he'll remember. But like, for example, we've got a buddy of ours, Ben. When Valiant first came back around, that's what he would do. He would like get all the preview copies he would get of anything, or like when they were doing the $1 debut books, he'd buy like 30 of them, and he'd just set up that table at his shop. And of course, the shop doesn't care, right? But he set up a table at the shop and just like give Valiant books away for free, you know, in the hope that somebody would go and be like, oh, this is freaking awesome, let me add it to my pull list. And I don't know how successful that strategy is nowadays. I mean, back in the 90s, it worked pretty well. But the industry was also very different back then. So I don't know how well it's translated now. But yeah, I mean, you did whatever works. Some of the other podcasters do that too, like Eric and Josh that do Get Valiant. I know they've given a bunch of stuff for free also, for the same reason. But again, I don't know how well the strategy works anymore.
It works terribly.
Well, I mean, if you look at the sales, it might work terribly. I don't know. I'm just saying. Look at the Warped Tour thing. They were giving out like thousands of that Faith one-shot book or whatever. I mean, we talked about Faith, you know, 30 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago, where it's not even in a ranking up in a sales chart. So does it work? I don't know, dude. I don't think so. I don't think it's working.
Well, it seemed like they did a lot of like the promo stuff for the Warped Tour, like, you know, like the graphic and stuff you were seeing and had all the Valiant characters in it, right? Like mm-hmm. It was in the promotional material, so I think that's what they got out of that thing. The you know, free copies that's probably you know, icing. You know, like it's very hard to get people, especially if they're not really motivated to actually look at anything you give them. You know, you gave it to them for free. How good could it be?
Well, and everything's awesome when it's free.
True.
Yeah, you know, that's a big difference, like you were saying, Martin, between the industry then and now. And I mean, with anything back then, like nowadays, if you want a comic book, you can pretty much get it. You know, it's not hard to go on like mycomicshop.com and order books. It's not hard to find them on eBay. Even if there are scarcer books, there are ways to find them. Whereas, like, what did you do back in the day when there was no online resources for that stuff and mm-hmm. you went into your comic shop? Like, if you saw a comic that you wanted up on the wall, like, you had to get it if you wanted to get it. Because if it was, you know, if it sold before you got it, like, when was the opportunity going to come up again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So everything was very different back then. Like, even with stuff, you know, if somebody gives you a free comic book, okay, well, you're buying whatever ones you're buying. They give you this free one. But it's not drowning in a sea of free stuff that you can read. Nowadays, you can, your shop throws in free previews of different shit for Marvel and DC all the time. You can go on Comixology and get a shitload of free comics at any time. You can go online and read web comics all over the place that are made to be free in the first place. And so, I mean, there's just so much free stuff out there, let alone you're competing with, even though it's not the same thing, you're competing with people spending time on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all this other online social media bullshit that they just waste all their time on. So there's a lot to compete with nowadays. So giving a free comic book out, like, it's more important, in my opinion, to tell somebody why they should read something and, like, help them see what they're going to get out of it than to just give them something for free.
Hmm, yeah.
You know, it's not like you're giving a free sample of food where, like, the only choice they have to make is, do I put this in my mouth or not? You know, and if they put it in their mouth and they experienced it, and then they can use that to judge later whether they want to purchase the thing. You know, a comic book is totally different than that. You're asking them to invest time. Like I, for one, I don't have a lot of time. I have a lot of stuff that I really want to read. So if you put a comic book in my hand that I don't want to read, I don't give a fuck that it's free. You know, I mean, you could put a $20 trade in my hand of something I don't want to read, and I'm not going to want to read it just because it's for free.
Yeah, I mean, being free doesn't mean that you're going to want to read it, right? Because I've been to plenty of con where there's indie publishers handing out free books, and everybody takes the free book. And then you're walking down the aisle, and then you see, like, a stack of them under a table, stashed, or, like, all dumped in the trash can. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And you see the one comic collector's like, these are going to be worth money, and piling them up. And that was only true in the case of those Valiant books they gave out to the investors.
Are you talking about gold books?
No, not gold books. I'm talking about the books that Valiant gave out to the investors.
The Chinese Harbinger and yeah. Those? Yeah.
The DMG?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are like, I don't want this fucking comic book, and then those things are expensive.
Yeah, they are. I'm trying to remember what it was. Dude, the last one was like $3,000.
Mitch Hedberg, here.
I love Mitch Hedberg, rest in peace.
Yeah, that's right, Mitch funny. Hedberg is like, somebody gives you a flyer, it's like he's saying, here, you throw this away. There it is.
Yep. Since you're talking about free shit, I want to talk about New York Comic Con real quick. Because they're giving out a bunch of free stuff. And I certainly hope that Aaron Bell gets me some free stuff.
Wait, Valiant's giving out free stuff? Or New York is giving out free stuff?
No, Valiant is, dude.
Gotta be more specific here, Martin. This is ridiculous.
I mean, the list of free stuff is giant. I mean, there's like stuff that I don't really care about, like the Icon sneak preview. Like, I don't really care because it's got Ninja K and Blush of Salvation, which, I mean, whatever. Like, Blush of Salvation was great, but it's already out. Quantum of Woody, like, okay, that's fine. But there's like a couple of Ninja K, Ninja Zero, Valiant, or Ninja vs. Valiant Universe variants. That are going to be given away for free. There's a Shadow Man Race Remurred variant that's being given out for free. So those are cool. I guess the rest of them are. It's not free. You got to pay for, like that.
You know what's really cool.
Yes.
Is Adam Alamo got my hardcover of the Valiant signed by Matt Kent? He drew an awesome Bloodshot sketch in that shit.
Nice.
Yeah, Matt Kent, probably the greatest person that's ever lived.
I would still go with Venditti, even though he's left the Valiant stable.
Does Venditti do a sketch in your book when you ask him to sign it?
He doesn't mind, actually.
Second question. Would anybody want him to do a sketch in their book?
Oh, no. The answer to that is no. And he will readily admit it. The first time I got him to do one, he's like, "Are you sure you want me to sketch something?" I was like, "Yeah, just do it." It was awful. It was terrible. But you know what? It didn't matter. It was a sketch from Venditti, and it was fun.
Dude, that's nice, man. Like, that's, you don't necessarily want to walk right into, like, doing something that you're not good at that somebody could then show around and be like, "Oh, look at this shit."
Right, well, and the thing is, like, a lot of people go to cons, right, just to, like, get signatures or whatever and get them CGC and sell them on eBay. Like, I don't give a shit about any of that. So, like, if I want a signature, I'll be sure to tell them, like, make it out to Martin. Because obviously that means I'm not going to put it on eBay to sell it. I just want you to sign my fucking book.
Yeah, that's why I usually get a hardcover signed now, because, you know, floppies just don't have the same meaning for me. Like, just recently, Steve Levine, a TMNT artist from back in the day, he actually, the packaging for the old school figures, he designed most of that packaging.
Oh, cool.
On top of working on the comics and stuff, so everybody's seen his work to some extent. But he came up to my shop up here for their second anniversary, and he was selling some prints and stuff, and I was talking to Zach, and he's like, "Oh, you got plenty of books you could bring in to sign now." This is, of course, right before I sold them all.
Mm-hmm.
But I took in my hardcover. Like, I had taken my TMNT classic hardcover volume 1 when Steve had his own shop down in Wells, and he had Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird come. It was around the time of the 30th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were both there, and Jim Lawson. So I took that one there, and all four of them signed it. So I was like, what do I want to take to have him sign? It's like, I don't really care that much about getting stuff signed. So I just took the second volume in to get it signed. You know, Zach's like, "Oh, bring in as much as you want. He'll sign it all."
Hmm.
Yeah, whatever. I'll bring in one book. Next time I see him, I'll bring in the next one, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that way it's like, I mean, you're not going to try to turn a profit on a hardcover just because it's signed by somebody.
Yep.
You know, you have more money already invested in it. It's not like a $4 comic that then you're going to try to sell for $20. It's a $50 hardcover that, like, how much more are people going to pay for it because somebody signed it, you know?
Well, and that's why a lot of guys will have a little collection bin for, like, the Hero Initiative or whatever, where they'll charge, like, you know, something stupid, like 50 cents or a dollar per signature. And it's not because they want to make money. Obviously, they're going to donate it to Hero Initiative. But it's to stop people that are coming up with, like, 50 books, 100 books just for a signature to sell it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Like, if you just want a book signed, like, fuck that, dude. I'll give you a dollar. I'll put $5 in there just for your signature. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's for a good cause. But not everybody that goes to cons does that, you know? A lot of people do go to make some money. And I get it, but that's not my thing.
Well, you know, like, the Poochie episode of The Simpsons where he goes to the Android Dungeon, the comic book shop, and comic book guy sets a, like, giant stack of books. He's like, "Make one out to me, and then 10 more to my friends of the same name."
Yep, exactly.
Why do you need that?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man, I don't get that stuff. I don't know.
When I went to my first con, that's where I met J.K. Woodward, and me and my buddy Kyle were hanging out with him the last night of the con, drinking and getting dinner in the hotel bar, and then the con starts wrapping up, so all these other, you know, creators and stuff start making their way out there, and the guys who ran the convention were the guys that owned the shop. Well, the owner of the shop and then, like, one of the guys that worked for him were running the convention.
Hmm.
And so they all started coming out, and I had bought the only, like, I didn't know any of the creators that were going to be there at the time because I didn't know people in comics at all yet. But I had checked out Revival because Tim Seeley and Mike Norton were going to be there. And so I went there with, I had like two trades, I think, of Revival. And I took those for them to sign. And then just shopping around, there was some booth that had, like, I think the first, I don't know, 10 issues, 12 issues with the Phantom variants. It was pretty cheap. It was like $1 an issue. So I bought them. And I was just going to take the first issue and ask them to sign it, you know? But then I went to do it, and Mike Norton was nowhere to be found. So I was like, oh, whatever, no big deal. So we're hanging out with JK, and I told JK that, and then they all started filing out. It turned out that Mike Norton was sleeping under his table because he was hungover. But so JK was like, hey, Mike, sign these. And he gives them all of the comics, and Mike sits there and signs them all. He's like chatting with me while doing it. And he, hey, Tim, sign these. And he takes them over to Tim Seeley, and Tim Seeley signs them all. So yeah, I just thought that was funny because I was like, I just wanted one comic signed, not all of them. And yeah, that's just how cool JK was. But they were both very cool about it too. And then we got invited to go to dinner with them, and we drank a lot more, and it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Cool story, bro.
It was a wonderful story. It was a good night.
So I'm looking at the New York Comic Con schedule because that's next week. Not the weekend this comes out, but the next week. And I see that there's a Ninjak Valiant Universe screening. Does that mean...
Yeah, I think they're doing the first episode.
So we're actually going to finally see this.
Well, not us, because I mean, I'm not going to be there, but I think if you are there, you might see it.
Well, we will have somebody there. So I'm curious on the reporting. I just really want to know what the fuck happened a couple of weeks ago, dude. Like,
you know, I was talking with Jeff about that, and he had a theory about it. It kind of makes sense that you know, he postured that it could have been a legal issue that stopped them from being able to show the trailer. And, like, he saw that as a cause for bigger concern, but then I was thinking about it, and don't you remember when they first were announcing that stuff, and Ronnie was, like, losing his shit because they used the name John Morrison, and that is...
I forgot about
that. Like, I thought about it, you know, it could be as simple as they put that name in there, and WWE sued him for it. Or at least put a halt to it, and, I mean, honestly, it could be that they just, you know, like, the cost of getting that, like, ready to go back out, not always so easy, maybe. I don't know. Whatever reason. I mean, it does seem odd, but if they're going to be viewing an episode, that means that they're getting somewhere with it. But that's the only thing that really makes sense to me about why they would say, hey, here it is. It's coming tomorrow. And then that day comes. Oh, sorry, we can't show you.
Well, I mean, they've been working for a year, right? So surely they are done.
I would hope so.
Right? I mean, what is it, like 8 episodes? 10 episodes? They're like 15 minutes apiece?
So it falls right in that mini-series range. Is that ongoing?
Well, I mean, it's like the length of almost a movie.
Is a movie an ongoing?
No, a movie's not an ongoing. A movie's a one-shot. Unless you get a sequel. And then it's a series of one-shots.
Yeah, they finished photography like 4 or 5 months ago or something, so...
Dude, I hope it's good. I'm to the point where, like, waiting a year for this thing to be screened, I'm almost to the point where I just don't care anymore.
That's what you tell yourself, but then it's going to come out and you're going to care. Well, you know why you're going to care? You know why you're going to care, Martin?
Tell me.
This Livewire is hot.
Livewire is hot.
Oh my goodness.
I'll give you that. I will give
it's
you
all
that.
It's all that matters. It's all that matters.
I think, I think it's going to help though, because I think once I see it, like, I've been so bummed out that they haven't shown anything. So I'm to the point where I don't care. But when it comes out, because I don't care, I'm like, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I think it's better to be kind of at that point where you're not, you don't have heightened expectations where you go into it and you just continue to build them up. Because at some point you either have to keep building your expectations or you have to just say, screw it, I'm just going to drop expectations because I'm not going to concern myself with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of at the point where, I mean, now all it can be is enjoyable or meh, you know, as compared to if you built your expectations, then you'd be like, this is terrible if it wasn't good, you know. Yeah. I mean, it could be good, you would criticize it at that point, so.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just like the guy that sat behind us when we went to see Aliens versus Predator years ago. Ruined his summer. Alien versus Predator was not good.
Dude, I love that movie. What are you talking about?
Then my friend stood up, turned around, yelled at him to shut the fuck up. The guy was very large.
I hate when people ruin movies, though. We went to see It tonight. It was freaking great. And I hate Stephen King, so that says a lot. Go see it. Can we wrap up? Are we done?
Hey, so can I jump on a point from earlier, which is just that I think... sorry, my thing is glitching out real bad.
Yeah, you're a little delayed.
Yeah, sorry about that, dude. I missed most of Paul's thing, but
you're fine.
Anyway, okay, so my point only is just that, like, whether good or bad, I think it's really important that they deliver something, because especially teasing the trailer like they did and teasing the series a year ago, like, I think that what they don't want to do is find themselves in a situation where hardcore fans basically take news that they drop and then are just like, yeah, fucking right, we'll see, you know, which is, you know, real talk, like I'm curious what's happening with the movies, you know, like that's where I am with the movies. Every time there's movie news, I'm like, yeah, well, I'll believe that when I have one piece of hard evidence that it's gonna happen. You know, I don't think they can have all kinds of things that they promise well in advance and tease you and build up the anticipation, and you're like at a froth, and then nothing materializes. That would be a big problem.
Yeah, every undelivered promise just kind of chips away at the you know, the strength of your fandom, I guess. You know, I mean, like, it keeps on chipping away at the enjoyment. Like, every little thing that doesn't come through, and, you know, little things aren't a big deal, you know, some things. But then you get, you know, like, they had those CK whatever the fuck figures.
Yeah, the
it's
CK
like, oh,
lab.
The first one's awesome, and they finally came out with the second one, and they never came out with any more. And then, oh, they're gonna get pop figures. Okay, so that explains why they never did more with this other thing. They're gonna do pop figures, that's good, because that's, like, you know, mainstream geek shit, these are the ones they're going to come out with, and they come out with Faith, and that's it, and the other ones haven't surfaced.
I forgot about those.
Yeah, it's been long enough now, but like, the one thing that they do well, and the reason why I think that people haven't really gotten fed up, is that the books always come out. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the individual issues always come out on time. I believe the trades always come out on time.
Yeah, the only thing that gets delayed is the hardcovers. Yeah,
yeah, and that's a little bit different. Like, that's kind of frustration, but, like, that's even one where, like, it kind of builds the excitement because people just get more and more anxious for them to come out. Plus, those are collectible enough, and with the ones that are out of print, that you know, like, there's, like, people want to get those so they don't miss out. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're still doing good in those areas, and that's why we're not just as fans getting fed up. You know, to talk about another publisher, Black Mask.
Oh, boy.
Kids walk into a bank, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I read the first couple issues of that. I was like, this is pretty cool. Then the third issue came out, like, a year later. And I was like, I don't care. And then the fourth issue came out shortly after that. I was like, I don't care. It's done. It killed itself completely. I don't care at all. Earlier in my comic reading days, I was getting what the fuck was it? I think it was Wild Blue Yonder. IDW is publishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, where it was coming out just fine. And I was like, this is pretty cool. And then delay, 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 doesn't come out. Okay, I dropped it. I don't care. And eventually, like, you know, it started coming back out again. I didn't get it. Came out in trade. I didn't care about reading it. Because it just, you know, when you don't deliver, you ruin it. So, like, with those instances where it's like, this is one title, well, that title's going to kill itself if it doesn't deliver. Mm-hmm. So Valiant is a publisher. They've delivered consistently with those books, which is, you know, keeping us in as far as that goes. But, I mean, outside of those books coming out, you know, everybody's lost faith in everything else because there's been no delivery on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So once they start delivering stuff, then you're going to start seeing a lot more enthusiasm. And, you know, the more enthusiastic you are about stuff, the more positive you're going to be about it.
So I think the Ninjak series is important, dude. That's...
Yeah, totally. Is the Ninjak series coming out is going to get people... I mean, they're going to be happy that it's coming out. It's going to be seeing Valiant in a new medium that we haven't seen before. It's going to make people feel like the movies are something
sure.
that actually can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to make people more excited about the books.
Yeah. Tell him, Paul.
I think Travis is having trouble talking.
Yeah, I think he is. He's got a little delay.
It's going to be such a good, like... Sorry, uh-oh. Guys.
I keep on trying to finish his thought because I'm like, okay, well, he was saying this, so he cut out, but I'll say what he was trying to, and hopefully I was at least close. I guess we should call this tonight.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Okay, there we go. We got confirmation from Travis that I know all of his thoughts.
Oh, man. Yeah, we should wrap it up. Let's go ahead and wrap it up.
Oh, a quick side note before we wrap it up, just to prove that I'm in Travis's head. He sent me a book. I read some of it. Wasn't really my cup of tea, so I sent it on to somebody else. He messages me after I already mailed it, asking, hey, why don't you send it to this guy? That's exactly who I sent it to.
Really?
Yep.
Impressive. That is impressive. All right, well,
great minds, dude.
We're going to wrap it up then. You've been listening to the one, the only, the Valiant Central Podcast. You can find Paul on Twitter at Who's Paul? I'm at Geekvine. And Travis... he is at The Great Magnet. Of course, we collectively are at Valley _ Central. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to see if I could plug the website where I post my reviews.
Absolutely.
I'm going to post them late this week because I've been podcast heavy.
Yeah.
ComicsTheGathering.com. You know, I'm posting them every week. We got good Valiant coverage there if you want to read reviews and a bunch of other stuff. So thanks.
Great. Comics the Gathering. Go there and check those out. And of course you can check Jeff out at on the VCR podcast. At what's that? Only the Valiant.
That's true.
Yeah, just go to onlythevaliant.com and you can see you can check out that podcast. I guess if you have to, you can go there and check that out.
What's great is if you don't like it, you just put it, you know, tape over that little tab hole, and then you can just record right over it, too.
That is so true. Anyways, that's it. We're done. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.